last few years has seen a sharp rise in the use of online crowdfunding sites as resources for the financing of independent films. A new website takes the concept one step further, creating a crowdsourced approach to the actual production of a film, from selection of cast, crew, and even story. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The recently launched website TentSquare.com suggests a new and interactive way of making movies. Two El Pasoans are among the pioneers to make a film under this novel approach. Zach Passero is a filmmaker, animator, producer, and editor. And Austin Savage is an actor and co-founder and artistic director of the Border Theater. They both just collaborated on Tent Square's first short film production titled While You Were in a Coma, and I'm happy to have them both on the program today. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Great to see you. Austin, welcome to the show. I don't think you've ever been on.
No, I haven't.
But we've been tracking Zach's career for some years, so it's great to see you both here.
Oh, it's great to be back.
You both were on different sides of the camera on this production.
Yes.
But I wanted to start While You Were in a Coma. It's a short film in post-production now. It's the first project out of the very unique approach called TentSquare.com. Zach, why don't you walk us through what is TentSquare.com and how does it differ from a lot of the other types of...
TentSquare, basically they're calling it a crowd-powered kind of social media site for, mm-hmm. you know, for film and art, essentially, eventually. And what it is if you are a director, a writer, a cinematographer, a musician, an actor, any of these things, you can, upload a profile kind of like you would on Facebook. And then what happens is TentSquare is going in with funding for projects, basically. It's not crowdsourced in the idea that they're trying to get money from people
right.
to make projects.
Which is the
they're
unique
coming
aspect.
In. Yeah, exactly. And that's so hard. You know, it's hard to crowdfund things. And in this way, they're basically, we have the money. We'd like to do these different types of projects. You know, with While You're in a Coma, they're like, okay, well, we're going to do our first short film. And so they hired two writers to kind of help it along this first leg. But through the community, the writers posed questions about character, story, location, things like that, that based on the voting of the interacting crowd determined how the script turned out. And in this instance, it was kind of boundless. It ended up being this huge kind of like 80s style, like apocalyptic film, which seems totally insane to go in on for a short film and make
Sounds
something
like something
this.
A crowd would come up with.
But, yeah, no, exactly. And then like the next steps were basically they did a director competition. And so directors and as well as a cinematographer competition, and you could submit your reel and the community voted on their favorite. And so we ended up with J.P. LeBay as a director and David Klassen as a cinematographer. They did an actor competition and Austin – and actually there were many El Pasoans, Austin Savage and Brian Seeley and Terry Randall, all kind of like did well through the whole process. And they all kind of ended up in the film, Austin.
So what was that like, Austin, to have to audition to a crowd on the internet, I guess? You don't have a traditional casting director here.
No, it was nerve-wracking. And it's completely different because most of the time when you do audition, you have sides of the actual project you're working towards, you know.
Right.
So you have a clue of what the thing is going to be about, what they're looking for and all that. And
so the story was still unfinished
still in progress.
That
so you kind of had no idea what you were doing per se. So especially the first one, it was actually a piece from the writers were the McManus brothers. Mm-hmm. They had done a short film called Funeral Kings. And the first piece was actually from Funeral Kings.
So you're doing a monologue to
doing a
video
monologue.
And then posting that up.
Yeah, and posting that up. So it's kind of interesting because I was watching the film for research and I saw the guy start talking. And I was like, oh, no, this is the audition piece. And so I was like, I don't want to see Kevin Corrigan do it because I actually enjoy his work quite a bit. So so I actually had to put it on pause and then I submitted and then I went back and finished that film. But, yeah, that it was interesting for those two reasons. You don't necessarily know what the project is or what it's about. So you kind of just take what is in that audition piece, that monologue, and those other pieces moving forward completely out of – there's no context.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only play, you know, those immediate circumstances and what you think. So you're kind of making arbitrary choices, but I think if you make them boldly, those tend to work.
So it became a 9-minute short film. How would you describe, while you were in a coma, the storyline of that and how it ended up, at least?
I think Zach kind of hit on it earlier. It's eclectic. I mean, they do a lot for 9 minutes.
It's like partially a period piece, and that, like, you know, essentially in the story, it's about a man who's, you've seen him at the beginning of the movie, he's waking up from a coma, and then you realize, you know, through flashback that he actually has been in a coma since the 80s, and he was, you know, in a car accident on his way to senior prom, and, you know, ended up in this coma, is waking up, you know, 30, 40 years later. And then from there, it kind of turns into this apocalypse piece. It's set in the modern day, but kind of like in an extension of the modern day. And it's wild.
So
it kind of goes all over the place.
Just in time to see the world come to an end.
Yeah, or the world has ended around him, basically.
Right. And now he's in Thunderdome. He woke up in Thunderdome. He's kind of like,
yeah, it's wild. And the whole idea that this got written, it's an eclectic piece. It's an interesting group of characters that all came together through this community to make it. Through this online community. And then, you know, it's this huge kind of scope of a story, but it got pulled off. And it's really interesting to see what that final product is.
And Zach, you're listed as a producer and you're also editing the film.
Yes.
You'd mentioned Brian Seeley, a very talented young actor here who's been on the show before, who's in the film. How many others from the El Paso area or region auditioned or are part of this production?
There were a ton. El Paso is very much embedded in this movie. Nathan Stell won the Songwriter Award to, you know, do like a period style a title song for the film, and Jackie Bodegon was in the film, and then the whole, like, most of the crew that wasn't coming with, like, the cinematographer was all from El Paso. So it's pretty interesting.
So our city is at the front edge of this new wave of doing things.
And the owner of Tent Square, Andrew Vandenhouten, who's a movie, he got his chops in producing films and distributing, loves El Paso. He's just completely impressed with the breadth of work and talent that's coming out of here, and wants to, like, there's a feature to be shot next year, and we're kind of hoping to shoot it here, and all sorts of things.
This one was also produced here. Most of the shots were made.
Yeah, everything was here.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and it really shows the diversity here of what you can do.
On the one hand, it's such a unique approach. But, you know, I think the romantic notion of filmmaking or screenwriting or directing or editing is we like to ascribe them to this, you know, genius loner who's, you know,
the auteur.
Yeah, the auteur who's putting their vision over everything. And this notion, you know, one, acknowledging that film is actually a giant collaborative effort, but extending that collaboration to this online virtual community. I'm wondering if there's any pitfalls in that too down the road.
Oh,
that
you could see. No, there's got to be. I mean, I think we lucked out this first time,
like,
out.
Like, are they always going to choose the apocalyptic option?
Oh, right. No, and you don't, and you kind of, in a way, you're offering an opportunity to everybody and anybody, which is a good thing. But it's kind of like, you don't know, you know, that you can get someone who's not used to working with a large group of people. And so it's like you're jumping right in the firing pan at that point. Or there's definitely some dynamics that are interesting. But I think what, like, Andrew and I discussed as far as kind of going into this first project was like, hey, we don't know how it all is going to come together. But part of it is just, you know, as being a producer, or as producers coming in and him, like, kind of helping usher and, you know, kind of smooth things through, you know.
One interesting thing is, we were talking about this on set, you know, some of the performers, and even David was talking about this a little bit, you know, was sometimes in the early process, you know, because it is based on fan vote, there's a genuine fear that, you know, popularity is just, he with the most social media friends will win out.
Right.
No,
you
absolutely.
Know? And so there was a genuine fear of that, and a certain kind of, we all talked about it. Every single person talked about the paranoia to it, you know.
So can anybody join this community and be a voter?
Just
absolutely.
About, you know.
So you could stack the decks with all
your
people.
Well, we came up with a solution, actually. Oh, so okay. It's kind of from this point on, especially going, not this point on, but for, like, going into the feature film. And it's kind of a good way to get the film community to interact with established filmmakers. So, like, let's say we have a director competition. Well, there was three rounds this time, which is insane. Putting people went through the ring. ringer to win when it comes down to it. But like after the first round, the winners from that will be their second round submissions would be judged by a panel of three established directors, and you know there are the connections to do that. And then going to the third round, which would be decided by the social network again, it's kind of like there's a playing field that all of a sudden gets kind of filtered through there.
James St. Vincent, he was the one who played the lead. He and I were particularly talking about this, how that fear existed a lot. And then somehow, though, he was talking about the pitfalls, and you mentioned this, is that I think the online community felt a certain responsibility to the film.
Yeah.
You know?
No, absolutely.
Where you started to see people who had been voting for their friends start voting for some other people as too.
I totally had friends that were in the running in different competitions, and I was like, well, I'd love to vote for him, but at this point, I don't know if I can.
Well, that's part of the uniqueness that's going to become the charm of this approach is that, you know, with like Kickstarter, which is really based on crowdfunding things, it builds an audience early for whatever that thing is. And here you have people in this online community investing themselves in, you know, the writers and directors and actors and story early on in the production. Right. So you're building a support base for that film before it even exists.
Yeah, and I think that's it. And I was kind of saying earlier, I think ultimately they feel kind of responsible for the quality of it too. You know?
And become promoters of it when it comes out.
Right.
Yeah, ultimately, I helped decide.
Right. I had a part in this.
Right. Yeah, no, and that's, you know, it's interesting because it's like at some point, it's like, let's take the first round of story questions. It's like, okay, the character could be named one of three things. And it's like, everybody voted on Otis. And it's like, even at that level, just me kind of knowing that I was going to be involved in the project from the get-go, I still like I just took a step back and I was like, well, I voted for the name Otis. I'd like to see what this movie ends up being, just based on the fact that I voted on his name.
How's Otis going to turn out?
Yeah, who's this Otis going to be? You know, he's going to wear a white suit? Okay, well, what is that going to be? You know, it's weird.
Fascinating. You know, we mentioned Kickstarter, but, you know, I'm thinking to the early days, which is just a few years ago when Kickstarter started, how it was a very small, you know, raising money in small quantities for very low budget film projects. And now, you know, there are people developing funding for multi-million dollar projects on Kickstarter. And I'm wondering if you can see Tent Square, this moving beyond kind of this novel experiment, to maybe a few years from now, you know, it attracting major productions. This is the way to engage audiences early.
No, absolutely.
Who do you want to play Iron Man in the next Iron Man film?
I think that's a possibility. I totally think that's a possibility. There's such a big kind of upheaval in the entertainment industry in general now where, you know, just not many movies do make money. And everything is kind of up in arms about how to engage an audience and how to keep them coming or how to reach them. And this is an interesting approach. I mean, it took me a little while to get my brain wrapped around it, but I definitely am starting to see the merit of it.
So Austin, as a performer and an actor in film and theater, I mean, be kind of scary not knowing quite where this is all going to end up, but it could also, I imagine, being refreshing to keep you on your toes as the story evolves, as your character evolves based on what people are saying online.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. There is a comment section on Tent Square.
Oh, boy.
And I do remember in my first, you know, audition piece, you know, for the most part, everyone is really supportive, even some of the competitors, you know. I really like that work. And there was one guy who said something, and I kind of trolled back and immediately regretted it, you know. But I'd never done that before. I'd never gotten feedback immediately from someone just, you know, some stranger out there who had a very strong opinion of my work.
It's a vulnerable position.
Yeah, and, you know, so that was new for me, and I guess part of the experience and all that. But I do want to say, too, that it was interesting to see, especially the first round. There were so many acting competitors. There were 50-something. I think.
Yeah, it
more.
Was huge.
And I felt obligated to try to watch every single one. I'm not going to say I did. That's where someone started. I'm not trying to be mean. And then it was just interesting to watch the same piece 60-something times. And I've auditioned. I've directed before, so I've been to enough auditions where I have, I guess, a certain threshold. To see just various takes on the same thing. And like I said, because everything was out of context, you get a different idea of what each individual is like. And he, you know, you were talking about crowdsourcing a film earlier and all this, but Ten Square is actually doing some other really interesting stuff. And they're really working on building this kind of cohesive online community, you know, like the monthly zombie.
Yeah, like right now they're doing like a Jeffrey Reddick, who created the Final Destination series, offered out this challenge to do a zombie bromance for October. So like submit your short film and the theme is zombie bromance. And they'll vote on him, and the winner gets like a cash prize and some notice. And then next month they're doing like a an actor monologue contest, and it's being judged by a casting director out in L.A. And so it's an interesting way that they're engaging it. They really are trying to build that community out.
And like I was saying, it's kind of neat because there's people I met particularly through the film, and then there's just others. We saw each other online through the Ten Square competition, and it wasn't that hard to track each other down through – other forms of like social media or whatever, and we've actually started engaging online, you know. So it is kind of neat to have this just community of people who obviously care passionately about the same thing you do and are dedicated towards their own projects on a small scale. And it's an online support system already, and you know, and what they're working towards is creating more advanced methods and better forms of interaction.
It's evolving daily, basically.
Well, what an amazing way to network creatives that may never have found one another. So it's going to be really interesting to see where this project goes, and I'm so glad you were able to bring so much of the production here to El Paso. It's certainly a brave new world for filmmaking. Thank you too for coming in.
Thank you.
I've been discussing the first project of the newly launched crowdsourcing content studio, TentSquare.com, with producer and editor Zach Passero and actor and artistic director of the Border Theater, Austin Savage. Passero and Savage have been on opposite sides of the camera for Ten Square's first short film, While You Were in a Coma, and you can learn more about the film, the process, and the innovative and interactive filmmaking network at TentSquare.com. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.